Welcome to the Superb Owl Podcast. This week I'm joined by Christian Puente, a talented videographer out of Austin, Texas, who's involved in the Kind of Funny community, OK Beast, Pop Agenda, and other various entities around the internet. He's a tremendous film producer and, as I said, videographer. He's also incredibly humble. So this week we got to sit down and chat about how he found his love for film and kind of that documentary style, and just how to be comfortable in the thing that you are actually quite talented at. I really hope you enjoy this episode. I had a lot of fun talking to Christian. I think he's a really, really, really amazing person. Enjoy. Christian, thank you for joining me this week on the Superb Owl Podcast. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me, Alec.
It's been you're yet another person that I happened to run into at PAX and had at least the gall to say, "Hey, come on my podcast at some point." And so thank you for that.
Oh, thanks for letting me get the chance. Podcasting is not something I really get the chance to do, and so, but it's something I'd definitely like to get more, either as guesting on other people's shows or whether it's starting my own. Like, it's something that it's very, I don't know if therapeutic's the word, but I definitely like listening to it a lot. And so I feel like it's only fair that one of these days, like, I either get into more of a habit of being on more shows or just starting my own. So any chance I can get to talk a bit with someone, then, you know, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think it's actually really, I love, you know, I used to work a lot to like music and stuff, but like, mm-hmm. as I've gotten older, I've gotten to the point where I'm just like listening to like podcasts galore, because mm-hmm. I'm like, I just need thoughts that aren't what I'm thinking about right now to right. flow into my mind, so then I can then like think about what I, so yeah, I totally get it. And that's honestly part of the whole like process of me getting to this is like, I loved listening to podcasts. So it's like, you know, I should start my own. And so
right,
here we are. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So Christian, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, talk a bit about what you do, who you are, and then we can kind of roll on from there.
Yeah. Well, my name is Christian Puente. I'm based out of Texas. And anyone listening to this might probably know me from the online community, from the Kind of Funny Best Friends. I'm a community member there, and kind of my stick, I don't know if the word, I'm probably most well known for putting out videos. I'm like, I call myself like kind of the historian of the group, because I'll go to as many events as I can, whether it's a PAX or an RTX or something, anything where the Kind of Funny Best Friends are going to get together, and I'll just kind of capture that, the moment that we're all sharing together, and I'll share that with everyone. So that's kind of where people might know me from.
Yeah, and so he's being really, really, really humble right now. Dope videos, like, they are so good, and they have such a, yeah, there's something about videography and documentation of like events and stuff, and someone who gets it right knows exactly what they're trying to do, and you just, you have such a great eye for it.
Thank you.
Really something else.
Thank you.
So I wanted to have you on because I think video and photo is one of the places where we don't really hear much of, we see the art, right, but we don't see so much of the artist behind the art. And so I want a chance to bring someone out who is an artist and who's behind some really great artistic pieces, right? And so I wanted to talk to you about, you know, your process of getting into, you know, videography, photography. Usually that's how it happens, you start with photos and then get to videos, but I don't know, I'm not you. So I wanted to you know, kind of unpack that, and I'd love to talk about, you know, a time or two where you really, like, you know, you hit a quote unquote, maybe a physical, ideally not, or a, you know, mental brick wall, and something, you know, kind of push back on you. And then, you know, what was the process after that? So how did you get into video?
By being shy, by being too shy for my own good. I come from a Hispanic family, which of course means a lot and a lot of extended family, lots of weddings, quinceañeras, things like that. Just these social environments where you're supposed to be kind of like mingling and talking and everything, but I'm like a, you know, a wallflower and like kind of shy. And so the easiest way to get out of doing anything was, of course, you know, being the family videographer. Like, you know, everyone wants to bring the camera around, but then they just put it down and start, you know, dancing, actually enjoying the event that they're at. And I was like, oh no, yeah, I'm not gonna dance. I need to go shoot this, like, cutting of the cake, you know? And so that just ended up being like how I coped with that, ended up just being, and then it, you know, becomes something that I'm not doing just because I'm trying to get out of interacting with people. It became like, oh well, this is just fun, I just like doing this. And then when you combine that with, like, growing up in the 90s, we had so much great, like, adventure movies like Jurassic Park, and so you start, it's kind of like this snowball effect of, like, my anxiety leads me to hold the camera, and the camera I have while I'm watching these great movies that are inspiring me to want to tell stories. And then before you know it, now I'm like, oh, I kind of want to make movies now. So
that's kind, really cool,
kind of how that came about. I'm probably skipping like a whole bunch.
Oh no, that's honestly a really cool that's a cool story behind it. So really quick, I think you touched on one thing that I did want to bring up, is that, so would you say, like, through the process of you just to jump right into this, right, through the process of you, like, getting acclimated with the camera, do you feel like you've become more social because of that? Like, did that help your, you know, your shyness?
Oh, definitely, yeah. How do I even, like, expand off of that? At first, because people are having a good time, and so when they see me with the camera, they're like, oh, like, it's someone who's wanting to, you know, capture this moment now. And so it kind of lets me ease into conversation a bit. They're like, okay, he is, you know, sometimes I feel like if there's a circle of people talking and you just jump in, I'm sure people aren't thinking this, but in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, are they going to wonder, like, why I'm even here talking to them and stuff? But if I have a camera, they're like, oh, yeah, well, he's just here just shooting the party or whatever. So it kind of helped me feel less like I didn't belong. And then as people started watching the stuff that I was putting out, then it turned less of like, oh, we understand why this guy's here, to like, oh, this guy has been putting out videos, so we, you know, he's definitely part of the community. And so I felt through people commenting on videos that I put out, or like leaving any kind of feedback, I feel less like an intruder, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does. That's really fascinating. That's really cool. The reason I asked is because I think, like, especially as a 90s kid myself, like, I think back to it, and I feel like there was just, like, quote unquote, an epidemic of shyness. I don't know why. Oh. I was super shy as a kid in the 90s, and the way that I coped with it is that I would just I just ended up, like, falling into, like, technology. So whenever, like, I would go over to, you know, like, a friend's house, or, like, specifically, it was always with, like, you know, we would go to my Uncle Mike's for like Thanksgiving or something. I would spend my time working on the computer and learning how to fix things on the computer. And so I like, that's how I coped with it. And so I think that, like, from the back of my mind, I'm like, is that, like, something that other kids went through? Like, did they have to figure out how, like, how, if they were shy, like, how did you, like, acclimate to these family situations? And so I think it's fascinating to hear that, and that it was in a way a coping method for you. So how long have you been doing videography, photography, you know, working with a camera in total?
I mean, I know some people would argue that I should count, like, when I maybe was a kid and stuff, but, like, I don't really start counting until, like, I got my high school. I guess high school is when I say I started, because that's when I made, like, a conscious effort to shoot stuff outside of just family get-togethers and stuff like that. When it was less of, like I said, that was when the transition point happened from, I'm not just using this camera to, like, avoid certain social situations. Now I'm using this to actively be productive or creative. High school was when I met, like, my quote-unquote mentor, who showed me, like, how to edit, how to shoot, how to act on a set and stuff like that. And so that's probably when I would say I started, was in my senior year of high school. No, junior year, I think.
Okay. All right. So a while now. So through that time, and through going, going through, because you're around my age. I'm almost 30. I think you said that you were like 31 or
turning 30. I'm 30, turning 31 in December. And okay. I guess we'll just put a year on how long it's been. Like, so I was like a senior in like 05. So it's been about 13 years.
Yeah. And so like one of the things that like we, I think as our generation have had to like come to terms with is going from a, you know, a like a semi-digital life to a fully digital life, right?
Yeah.
So like it goes from this point where we're like interacting, but we still have to be face-to-face to where everything's gone digital. For a medium such as like videography and transitioning, was there anything like a block in that regard, like going from a one specific medium to another? Because I know that I had friends who were in like our film and photography class in high school, and it was like just starting to go to like a semi-digital. I think they were using like mini, like the Sony mini cassettes or something like that. Like it wasn't fully digital at that point. Was that transition hard, going from like kind of an analog or semi-analog to a fully digital?
It was weird. It was uncomfortable. It felt like not having a certain safety net. So when I did start back in 05, yeah, I would my class, we were shooting on these little mini DV tapes, and they
mini DV. That's what I was thinking. I was like, eh, there's a mini, and
now
there's
that's
some
a
word.
Name I've not heard in a long, long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I still have a bag full of my old high school tapes that I've been like, just like total side note, I've been trying to find a little compact player so I can digitize them all and maybe post some stuff again from back then. But yeah, back then it was mini DV tapes, and they would just hold 60, 90 minutes. And I didn't even back then, I wasn't deep enough into it to know like the difference between like what was on the cartridges. Like this one has mini DV, but with UH something or other. And this one says times 100. I don't know if it means, but if it's in the camera that I got, then that's good. But then I think my camera broke, and then that's why I needed to get, you know, a new one. And the next one available was, by then things had shifted to more digital, and I can still feel it as I'm remembering it. I can still feel that memory of like, man, like, so if I hit delete, it's just gone. Like, it's just, that's it. Like it, like I mentioned earlier, it felt like a bit uncomfortable, a bit more anxiety added to it because it's a different way of, archiving or cataloging or working with footage. It's not physical anymore. It's this weird, just it's little bytes and ones and zeros and stuff, and figuring out different computers take different codecs and stuff that was just going over my head and still goes over my head. There's still so much going on right now that I still am not, you know, as informed as I'd like to be. Things like 422 versus some other weird codec or plugin or something like that. And so it's still a weird thing that I'm wrapping my head around, because for me it's not so much all the technical stuff that I take the time to learn. It's more about like the visual. Like I'll spend more time, rather than learning about like I said, the technical stuff, I'll just focus on the frame composition and movement and things like that. So I would be focusing on the wrong things. Well, I don't know about wrong, but just I didn't get an overall grasp of what I should probably be learning. I had a bit more tunnel vision. So I'm missing a few things. There's a few gaps in my knowledge.
I don't know if that's necessarily always a bad thing, though. I mean, you've obviously done well enough to produce some really great content. But yeah, with that transition and with working within like a community, and because you're incredibly active within, you know, Kinda Funny as a best friend, and I believe you just did some visual footage for PopCap, right? Is it PopCap?
It was for PopAgenda.
PopAgenda, PopCap, something else. PopAgenda, Jen Miller's company, Greg's wife, and which is just amazing in itself to get an opportunity like that. But I think what I really want to understand and kind of dig into is, you know, you're fairly established in your ability to shoot and produce video. My question to you is, when did you decide that this was something that you wanted to do for like you know, your life and your passion and kind of meld them together. And then more so in my, has there been a situation of where, you know, kind of life just pushed back and made you contemplate, maybe this isn't something I really want to invest my time fully in?
I'm trying to think of, I was debating as you were asking which one to answer first. And I guess I'll start with like the first one you mentioned, like, I guess, when did I realize this was something I wanted to do? And it wasn't always something I realized. It was kind of, you know, there was a progression. So the first thing I ever realized I wanted to do growing up was do special effects for movies. I mentioned Jurassic Park earlier. Back in the day, I'm sure you remember those, like, movie magic that played on TV.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I remember them showing the special in Jurassic Park, and they're like, hey, these dinosaurs, they're not actually there. And I'm like, wait, but they're robots, right? And it's like, no, they're actually CG monsters that are created in the computer. And I thought that was awesome. And so, I mean, I don't know, I think that was 10 or something like that. So, like, that's as early, so that's the first time I ever, as a kid, was like, oh, I want to do this thing. There's this job where you can, like, create visual effects and stuff like that. And I would see, like, different episodes where they would show Folly, where you'd create sound design with just house made objects. And I was like, I want to make movies in some way, whether it's doing something at a high level or low level. I just know I want to be involved in movies. And it was just kind of a general interest. And then I realized pretty soon after that, because my dad was very encouraging. He's like, oh, you know, you have a direction. So he pushed me towards that direction. And like South by Southwest is a convention here in town. I say town, but it's, anyways, I'm getting off sidetrack. It's this technology convention that, even though I'm like a kid and I had no business being there because it's all professionals there, he was like, hey, you should go and just check it out. And as an opportunity, we got to take a tour of like different like art houses around town. And I saw just how much math and stuff was involved with putting out effects and graphics and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, I suck at math, so I feel like I'm less with direction now. I don't know what I want to do then. I just know I still have this inclination to tell stories visually through movies, but I don't know where I want to sit or where I want to land on like the hierarchy chart of it all. And so I just kind of like had it in the back of my head and didn't really follow up with, like, you know, it's something I was like, I'll figure this out later. So I guess that was the first hurdle, was like letting my own limitations, like a weakness with math, really kind of like stop me from, it didn't stop me, but it slowed down the momentum I had initially. And it didn't, things didn't start gaining momentum again until early high school, when that's kind of when I realized, oh wait, so I do still want to make movies, but now I know more what I want to do. Now I know I want to direct. I'm going to pause there in case you had any questions or anything, because I feel like I was rambling a bit.
No, you've got a good natural flow. You're rolling right into the next subject. So you want to, you're saying that you want to direct. I mean, the only thing I would dive into is, do you feel like you're still bad at math?
Yeah, definitely. I love math, and I've always loved math. Like being in the classroom and seeing the equations play out and seeing how they relate to one another. I like that. But when it's actually like, here's something for you to solve, I'm bad at that.
Gotcha.
You know, I like the journey of following along and seeing, you know, someone explain like why these equations are doing what they do. For some reason, I just find that really fascinating. But
you like the story behind the equation.
Exactly.
I mean, it's as simple as that, right? Like, I mean, like it's cheesy, but that's the best way that I could describe it. I feel the same way as you. I nice. Honestly, I do. But not to get too sidetracked. So you kind of came to the conclusion you wanted to direct.
Yeah, in early high school, I have like bits and pieces in my mind because my mind is totally falling apart from being old now, which is funny saying to you since we're the same age, but like I constantly sometimes feel like I'm too old and sometimes like I feel I'm too young. It's just this weird limbo.
Yeah, I feel you.
But
yeah, I've heard that lasts until you're like 50 and it's awful.
Somebody offhandedly said something about my Halloween costume, like, and then I was like, what are you saying? And I'm like, oh, it was a reference to this movie, this like mariachi movie. And I was like, oh, what are you, and then he started telling me about El Mariachi, the movie by Robert Rodriguez. And something about the way they told me the story about the movie made me feel like I should check this out. And when I did, that kind of just propelled everything, because anyone who doesn't know, anyone who's not familiar with El Mariachi. Some people might be familiar with Robert Rodriguez and like the movies he's put out, like Sin City, Desperado, and then more recently he's going to be putting out one called Alita: Battle Angel. But his first movie that kind of put him on the map was this, like, this really simple straight-to-DVD, well, it was supposed to be straight-to-DVD kind of movie that he made for, like, for pennies and nickels called El Mariachi. And I think just that story, that fairy tale story of, like, someone just, like, taking what they had and making a movie, just basically willing it to into existence with, you know, just pure effort, like, really captivated me and got me interested in making movies again. Because for some reason, I don't know, I had this mindset, but, like, let's say you're young and you know you want to be a doctor. What you do then is you just, you what I'm assuming, because I've never wanted to be a doctor, but I'm assuming it goes something like, well, then you make sure you make good grades in school, and then once you get to the age where you can go to medical school, then you start your training. I don't know why, you know, you don't start practicing medicine part-time as a kid or teenager, you know? And so I applied that same logic to film. Like, I knew in the back of my head I want to make movies, but I didn't think I could start, even though I've been shooting family, you know, home movies and stuff since I was a kid. I don't know why I didn't think, like, oh, I could just start doing short films now. I didn't realize that was a thing I could start pursuing. But the story of Robert Rodriguez turned that story on to me, because he would talk about how he made just short films with his family and neighborhood kids and stuff like that. And so I was like, oh, wait, I guess that's right. I guess I don't have to wait until college. I can start learning now. And I was like, so he's a director? So what does that mean exactly? Like, you always see in cartoons, a director is someone that sits on a chair and they have a funny hat and a vest and they just kind of yell action. But he's so hands-on in the experience, and he's telling his story a lot through, like, the special features in the DVD and stuff. And I'm like, oh, wait, so a director, yeah, it can be this thing that's, like, very hands-off, but you can also be like this guy and very hands-on and just completely control the story, and which ended up being something that drew me towards being a director, because I like having as much control of the process as possible. You know, and I think I'm going to pause right there to you as I collect my thoughts some more.
No, I think that's a... So, I guess a commentary on that is, I think it's interesting to think, like, in some ways, you know, our education system and just education in general is so good about, like, helping kids find what they want to do. But the problem is if, in my opinion, where it fails is the arts, where you realize, right, you're so right. Like, you don't just go and, like, get a part-time job like stitching people up in the hospital in you know, in high school, right? If you want to be a doctor, you study hard, you go to college, you get an undergrad, and then you go to med school to get your, you know, your graduate degree to become a doctor. But for something like film or any of the arts, right, every person who's, like, worth their salt in any artistic field is, like, saying, like, start now, do it now. So, like, if you have a kid who's, like, you know, 11, 12, and they say they want to make movies, well, then buy that kid a camera and encourage them to go make movies. Even if they're crap, go make movies, because, right, like, as this, you know, the theme of this podcast, you know, every step is a step towards success, right? You can fail upwards, right? Like, as weird as that sounds, but, like, you know, I think that's a really fascinating realization, and you came to it pretty young. Like, there are people like myself who realize, oh, I love to tell stories myself. Like, I like to talk to people. I should make a podcast about talking to people, and I am 30 and I could have done this a while ago. But really what it comes down to is, like, understanding that, you know, from an artistic perspective, you just got to put yourself out there. You got to start somewhere, right? I think that's really cool that you came to that realization so young.
I mean, I'm glad you think it's young. I totally feel like I'm late to the party, especially when you hear about so many other directors, when you read their, you know, biographies or watch their interviews, and they're talking about how they were 10 years old. And I guess I was shooting family events, but they're like, oh yeah, like, me and our, you know, we did the short films. And I'm like, dang, like, if only I'd realized, if I had put the pieces together, that I could have been doing actual short films, like, at a younger age, you know. So I feel a little bit late to the party, but
I think, do you know what I honestly think? I think probably you shooting your families and being that wallflower with the camera at, you know, family events is probably what's made you so good at shooting, like, events, like, kind of funny events, or, you know, for Pop Agenda, their events, you know.
That's like a great way to look at it.
Because it prepared you, right? It got you. That's why it's like, I think you should count from when you started shooting for your family and doing those things, because that helped hone the skill that you have right now that I personally think is so, so great.
I can dig it.
But I do want to hear more, because I think that you're telling a great story. So
thanks.
So go ahead and continue.
I mean, that came from the question of, like, I guess, when did I realize I wanted to do directing, I think. And I think you'd also asked, what was it?
When did you feel like, you know, life or anything, any circumstance outside of your own or even within your own mind started pushing back and said, no, you can't do this? And when did you and how did you push back against that, saying, yes, I can?
I mean, you open it up a bit more. I think I've been my own, like, wall, just my own self-doubt and things like that. I've been fortunate that I actually have a lot of support, whether it's friends saying they like my videos, and I don't mean just like right now the community members, but I mean even in high school they'd be like, oh, like once I did meet up with my, you know, once I did learn to, it's okay to pick up a camera and do some fun editing stuff, like the friends in high school that like what we were doing, or teachers, like they, or my parents, like I said, my dad, even though I was really young, had no business at like this big tech convention, was like, hey, well, you have an interest to go see what's going on there. You know, I've always had support around, but even with all the support, I would often hold myself back. Like I said, either through self-doubt, insecurity, just shyness in general, just a combination of different excuses and things to get in my own way. So for the longest time, before any outside forces ever made their way into like stopping me, it was mostly myself. Just, I guess it's, you know, just in general insecurity or fear, things like that.
I think that, to me, I think that that's the most important one to overcome, because in the end, you can't stop, you can't change anyone else, but the only thing that you truly do have control of is yourself. And so I think it's telling to say that you've been working on that already, because I know a lot of people that just now are realizing, I have friends who are like, I realize the reason I haven't really made it to where I want to be is because of myself. Like, I keep telling myself, and there, I have friends who are in their mid-30s who are saying that. And so to have been cognizant and aware of that thus far even is really impressive.
Oh, thanks. And I think I've been doing a bit better, especially since, like, really diving into the community and talking to other people. It's been infectious seeing the growing creativity going on in the community, whether it's the OK Beast guys, Irrational Passions, your podcast, Vertical Slice. There are just so many different shows and networks and content creators coming out, and seeing the work they put out, it definitely is, like I said, it's infectious and gives me the confidence to also, you know, rise up to certain challenges. I don't know if you mentioned like the Pop Agenda thing, and like, I think maybe me from a couple years ago would have been like shied away or been like, oh, sorry, I didn't see your message in time, when really I had, or something like that. But in seeing how far everyone else has gone and me wanting to catch up to them or, you know, stay part of the conversation, it has kind of given me a bit more confidence to, when I do get that call of like, how, you know, to come out there for that, to be like, yeah, I can do it, not to shy away from it so much.
I think that that's a monumental thing. I think that that's huge, honestly, to have a circumstance where someone would say something, where someone's internal monologue is saying you can do it and you can go forward. Because I mean, like, I think that that's, you know, to say, like, you know, 2 years ago you wouldn't have, you know, quote unquote responded in time for, you know, the Pop Agenda thing, but this time you did. I think that that's a huge thing, and I really hope for anyone who is listening to note that, like, you know, it's small steps. It's understanding that you'll get there sometime and you'll move forward. But I think that's really cool. And I'm happy that you did that because it brought you to PAX and we got to meet face to face. So that's great.
And I've been trying to, piggyback off of that and just that, like, and I try to, I don't know if pay it forward is the same word, but I try to kind of evangelize that spirit too. Now that I have kind of, even though I'm not perfect at it yet, but even though now that I am doing a bit better about putting myself out there, anytime I have been at a meet and greet and something, and somebody mentions that they want to be putting their self there, anyone's mentioned, by the way, I mumble a lot and stumble over my words a lot. There's totally a reason why I'm a visual storyteller and not, you know, that's why I'm not a speaker, because I can totally hear myself right now messing up my words. But so let me get this right. So through these meet and greets and stuff, as I meet more people that are having an interest in putting themselves out there, I am learning to also like kind of encourage them to. People have said, hey, I want to take more pictures at, you know, Kind of Fun Live 2 or 3. And I'll say, oh, well, I mean, you never know. And then they respond the next year. They're like, hey, Christian, like, guess what? At this event, I'm going to be a photographer because, you know, you told me I should go ask them. And they said, yeah. So I've been just trying to be that voice for them, the way other people have been a voice for me in trying to be encouraging towards, you know, putting yourself out there or, you know, something to that effect.
I think that that's great. And honestly, so the way I like to wrap up this podcast, because I think we're hitting a good, like, you know, this plane is coming back down, right? We're about to land the plane. I think that that's honestly a great point, because what I love to do is I love to end the podcast with saying, you know, what's a piece of advice that you would give to your younger self or someone who is, you know, starting out in this place, in this industry, in this profession, in this line of work, or, you know, this passion. What's some piece of advice that you would give to someone that you were like, you know, I've heard thousands of pieces of advice, but I just don't think that either I've heard this one enough or I've heard it at all, right? And so, like, I think that that's a great part of it. But is there anything else that you'd want to add for, like, something that you'd want to tell your younger self?
I would have said start now if I had met myself. Like I said, I think I kind of really started the storytelling side of videography in my junior year. But if I had gone to middle school year or freshman, I would say start now with whatever you have. And I think that's hard to hear because and I'm the same way. When I say people, I'm also talking about myself. People don't want to take that first step until they feel like they have everything in place, everything ready, everything. Then you're just delaying it. And so if you want to do something, but you don't have all the resources you feel will make it the vision you want, then do what you can to get as close to it, even if it's not going to be what exactly you want it to be. I probably wouldn't have had a very good camera back then, but it's still just, you pick up what you have there. If today a meteorite came and like hit my house and all I had was my phone on me, then I wouldn't just give up being a videographer. Like, I, you know, I know that I'm the filmmaker and that the camera is just the tool. And so even though right now I'm like, oh, I wish I had like a Blackmagic camera or a Red or this or that, like, I know that, you know, that's only half of it. I'm the other half. And so if I only ever had my camera phone for the rest of the year, I would totally still feel fine, confident in putting out. They wouldn't be the exact kind of videos I want to put out, but I feel confident that I could still put out some sort of visual storytelling that, even though it wouldn't be exactly what I wanted to be, would be at least some sort of creative outlet, which I think it's good to get your creativity, it's good to get out your creativity in any form, even if it's not the one you want. And so I guess that's like long and short of it, is just do it however you can, you know, even if you don't feel like you're ready.
I think that that is a fantastic segment of advice. It's not just a piece, Christian. It's a segment now. No, I think that that's tremendous advice. I like the term analysis paralysis, simply because as someone who who does that, I will sit, and like, I have this everywhere. I have it when I play games. I have it when I work. I have it when just making life decisions, buying a couch. Like, I just am like, well, if it's not perfect, if this doesn't work, and then it just snowballs and cascades and gets into this big thing. So I think you clarify it and put it into such a great, you honestly tell a great story with it right there, which is contrary to what you may think. You said that very well. So thank you for that. I hope someone really is able to, you know, take that in and, internalize that and hopefully, you know, take that next step for themselves. I like to close out with, you know, where can someone reach you? Where can someone follow your work? And then what's your favorite animal?
Okay. Well, I'm pretty much easy to reach anywhere on social media as Pixel Brave. I've been pretty good about getting that wherever I can. So I'm easiest to reach on Twitter. I'm pretty sure my DMs are open. That's how we talked, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
Then... yeah, other than that, Instagram, PSN ID, Twitter. I don't really use Facebook anymore, but anywhere you can find like some kind of username, find me as Pixel Brave. And was my favorite animal? Was that it?
Yeah.
My favorite animal? I wish I had a better segue from one thing to the other. Let me stick more time there. Like, yeah, find me as Pixel Brave, and whether you want to talk about photography, videography, whatever you want, anything that is an interest to you that you think I might have an interest in, like, I just like, you know, shooting the shit and talking. So, you know, reach out. And if I don't have the answers, sometimes people have reached out and I simply don't have the answers. Maybe they'll think that because of the work I've done and the people that I've worked with, they might think that I have certain knowledge or can give people a peek behind the curtain and things like that. But some things I simply don't. But if I don't have the answer, I'm more than happy to help point you in the direction of someone that I think will. I'm a big fan of, like, if you don't have the answer, you can say no, but I can help you find it, and genuinely want to help people find them too, even if I don't have that answer for you.
Reach out. Man, you're such a kind and like warm soul. That's the best way I can put it.
Thank you.
You're just a warm soul. You even we're thousands of miles away, and I just feel warm. What's your favorite animal?
My favorite animal is probably the turtle.
Turtles are the shit. I love turtles.
They are chill, and they take their time. And that's like me. Like, I know I can panic sometimes, but my preferred state is to just be kind of chilling. That's why, like, my favorite fictional animal is like Snorlax, because that is straight up me. If we're talking fictional animals, man, that dude is just chilling like a villain, and I dig it.
Well, that is great. Snorlax is dope.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining me this week, Christian.
Thanks for having me.
This was tremendous. Yeah. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Thanks. Our conversation must have been pretty short during PAX, but I'm glad we have this one. And please, anytime, whether it's DMs or whatever, we got to chit chat more too, dude.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Thank you for tuning in this week.
Everyone take care. Later.
Thank you for tuning in this week. Superb Outposts every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific time on all major podcast networks. If you want to reach out to me with any suggestions of guests I should have on the show or anything like that, you can reach me on Twitter at AlexToTheAndrew. I believe my DMs are open if that's how you'd like to communicate with me as well. Hey, have a great week.